fresh air,
free breakfast,
hobnob with the coolest people,
and start your day with a great big grin on your face.
But not too big, or you might get bugs on your teeth.
We're talking about Bike to Work Day.
Next on Loving the Springs, the podcast that celebrates the best of Colorado Springs and Manitou and strives to elevate the rest.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast.
I'm Dave Gardner.
I'm Carrie Simison.
And I'm Al Brody.
We're recording this episode of Loving the Springs on June 16th in the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio here at the lovely The Next Us, which is a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs.
June is Bike Month.
And June 25th is Bike to Work Day, which is pretty special in our wonderful part of the world. Here to give us all the juicy details are Carrie Childress, the City of Colorado Springs Multimodal Transportation Planner, and Carol Campbell from Mad Woman Marketing Strategies, but the Mad Woman herself.
That's me.
Well, we're glad you joined us because I'm sure you've listened to every episode of Loving the Springs. And if you had, you would know that we hate bicycles, don't we?
All three of us.
Yeah. Right. No way.
Between the three of us, I would guess there's easily in double-digit number of bicycles in our families.
Nice. So have you picked out your breakfast stations that you're stopping by yet? There are 38 official ones at this point.
Holy Toledo, 38.
Yeah.
For starters, we know a little bit about Bike to Work Day, but someone listening may not. So why don't we start at the beginning? What the heck is it?
Bike to Work Day is an activity that we have been doing since the 1990s with the Congestion Management and Air Quality Act, and it's just grown throughout the years. So we have a bunch of corporate champions who help promote cycling and cycling to work, and then we have breakfast stations who donate their time and goods to welcome you along your journey to work that day.
So Bike to Work Day is really just a chance for people who aren't what sometimes we refer to as the spandex crowd. You guys might be the spandex crowd.
No.
Al's not a spandex
guy. We know
guy.
Al is.
Oh. Yeah, I don't wear spandex, Al.
Neither do I.
I've heard differently. Really, it's just an opportunity to get people who either haven't cycled recently, don't cycle regularly, or haven't had the opportunity to get out to try cycling for transportation for just one day, hence the breakfast stations, to give people a reason. It's so much fun. I've been helping the city out with it for, I think, at least 8 years now. And every year it just gets bigger and bigger. And to Carrie's point, the corporate champions are companies that say, yes, we think that's a nifty idea. We'll display posters. We'll put information out. We'll encourage our colleagues, staff, friends, competitors to ride that day. Yeah, it really helps us keep track of how many companies. And then we put it out to breakfast stations all around the city. And we have everything from 15 pounds of bacon with the Mountain Metro station to, you know, branded bottles of water, to coffee, to granola bars. Just if you want something fabulous, get there early, because if it's a big breakfast, it sells out pretty quick.
Now, it is so much fun. And if I don't have something to record in the studio, I office at my house. So I don't bike to work on those days. I just walk down the steps. Sometimes I fall down the steps. But on Bike to Work Day, I just get on my bike and go somewhere, because you don't want to miss it.
Totally. It's funny. I was at Beers and Gears at Bristol a couple weeks ago talking about Bike to Work Day, and I had a couple come up, and I asked them if they were involved. They said, oh, yeah, we ride every year. And the gentleman said to me, oh, yeah, I'm with a bunch of guys, and we go to, like, you know, six or seven breakfast stations. And I said, oh, you're the guy. He said, no, there's a bunch of us that do that. So, yeah, there's whole crowds that are just regular participants. But we have people that we've never met before, that we've never seen before on bikes. And one of the things we try to do is make sure that people know if they don't have a bike. We do a lot with media in advance, right? Here's how you pick a bike. Here's how you seat a bike. We worked with kids on bikes to try and help people understand how to buy a really good bike pretty darn cost effectively, and the difference between, no offense to Target and Walmart, but the difference between an inexpensive Target and Walmart bike or a great used bike from somebody that knows what they're doing. You know, to people that have a bike, just how to get it ready. We do a lot of clinics in advance, how to get your bike ready, how to get your body ready. If you haven't been on a bike in a while, that's pretty important. Safety, other things that the city has done, outreach and all that kind of thing, really trying to pull it forward so that people who don't and aren't regular riders like you guys will have the chance to get all the pieces in place to be able to ride that day.
Well, I know you guys also have a partnership with Pike Ride. So if it was just one day that you wanted to ride, you can lease, rent a Pike Ride bike, and it's pretty cheap. I think it's $1 to start and 25 cents a minute. And then, you know, if you get on a Pike Ride that day and you're like, this is actually pretty cool. I mean, Pike Ride has monthly memberships, annual memberships, or again, that just, you know, ride by the day if it's something you decide you want to do once a month. And especially if you're in Manitou, Old Colorado City, downtown area, Central Colorado Springs, there's stations all over the place, so it makes it really easy. And I mean, let's be real, that little e-cyst really makes it so you're not sweaty when you get to work. So you don't have to change out of the spandex and shower in case your office isn't one of those places that is quite offering that kind of amenity yet.
Totally makes a difference. And Pike Ride hooks us up too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do two free 20-minute rides for people on Bike to Work Day. So there'll be a code available that people can do that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Pike Ride has done demos in the past. Will they be doing that this time?
Not to my knowledge. They'll be on site. We have quite a few reporters joining us that morning. And so Pike Ride will be riding with the reporters, visiting the different buffer stations. So yeah, I don't think they're doing demos that day though.
Okay. And how about the mayor? Is the mayor going to ride?
The mayor will be flipping pancakes at the Legacy Loop Trailhead.
Yeah.
But he will not be riding due to some of his health issues he's had recently. So he's just recovering.
Okay. Yeah. I do often see him out with his kiddos on bikes throughout the rest of the year. So I know he's an avid cycling supporter. So it's nice to have the biggest wig in the city behind bikes.
Totally.
Well, just the optics of having him on, even for a moment, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're listening while you're riding your bike right now, which isn't necessarily advised for safety reasons, but some of us do that. You obviously can't take notes fast enough while you listen to this. So is there one good place for people to go to pretty much pick up everything that we're talking about?
Yes. And actually, that was something I was going to add also just for riding in general and preparing, not just for Bike to Work Day, but in general, we have a interactive bike map on our city webpage that will show you where all the trails are and the bike lanes on the road and then the bike routes. So you can do that. But our Bike to Work Day webpage is coloradosprings.gov/biketowork.
So it's pretty cool that we have an interactive bike map. This is not your grandfather's Colorado Springs.
I don't think so. And the city's been doing a lot of investment, and I'll let Carrie field this because I can't answer all the good questions, but lots of investment in expanding trail access, safer crossings. That's really been an initiative this year and the last couple of years.
Yeah, last year I think we put down about 16 or 17 miles of bike lanes, new bike lanes. This year it's a little bit less, but we're also putting in some improvements, so some larger buffers on the bike lanes that are already existing. And this summer, I'm super excited. We have 8 trail crossings that are going to be upgraded. So they're going to have pedestrian refuge islands and flashing beacons or bulb outs or raised crosswalks. So it's a pretty big undertaking.
Great.
So what's a typical morning going to look like for somebody who decides to bike to work on June 25th? What might it look like?
Well, it depends on where they're coming from. If they are downtown in the core area, probably the bulk of our breakfast stations are along the Fountain Creek Trail, as well as Midland Trail, east and west. Rock Island has a couple of breakfast stations. A friend of mine just moved into the Bond neighborhood and backs the trail. I'm like, come on, man, do one in your backyard. I haven't been successful yet, but it could happen. Downtown, it's a huge party. I mean, really in the core of the city, that's where the bulk of the action is happening. But there's a number of breakfast stations. Mission Coffee Roasters up off InterQuest does one. We have some folks southeast. Daniel and Aspen with Kids on Bikes are going to be doing mobile breakfast stations in the southeast corridor. They have cargo bikes. Those are always a pretty good hit. But yeah, I would say several years ago, Colorado College, I don't think they're doing it this year, they did a straight up full on breakfast, like bacon and eggs and hash browns and French toast and whatever else. They were sold out, and I use sold out loosely because it is free, by about 7:15. We had a couple people say, you should have planned better. And I said, no, you should have planned better. So we ask all our breakfast stations to be prepared to feed up to 100 folks. The ones that are super well attended, they're great, and they always try to do extra. But literally, because they're doing this for us for free, we literally just ask them to provide breakfast for 100 people.
Which is no small undertaking. Right. I mean,
no.
I couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah. And you think about some of the places that are, you know, potentially restaurants or coffee shops that are doing this over and above their normal morning traffic. And it's right in the time when we're all stopping for that cup of joe if we're not making it at home. So it
totally
really is awesome how the community gets behind something like this. And, you know, if we turn one person from car driver into a couple time of year, you know, bicycle commuter, I mean, every little bit helps us both with traffic congestion, the health of the human, the health of our environment and community. And I mean, let's talk about mental health. And I only live 2.5 miles from where I have to drive to. And those 2.5 miles in a car, you know, where you're stopping at stoplights and you're, you know, behind traffic and distracted, compared to those 2.5 miles with the sun shining on you, the wind blowing through your hair, you know, just feel like you look around a little bit more at the environment, you engage with people that are on the streets. I mean, I know there's the Jeep wave, but there is absolutely the cyclist wave too, where you either get the wave or at least the little head nod. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a totally different way to get around. And, you know, once you do it once, it kind of gets, you kind of crave it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite days. I live up the pass, so for what it's worth, I do not ride all the way in because Highway 24 seems super dangerous down from Cascade.
Yeah. Yes,
I've seen people do it.
We don't recommend that.
Yeah, do not recommend. But yeah, I bring my bike in, find a place in town to park it, and then Carrie and I rode together a lot last year and had a blast. Mm-hmm. And it is cool. You get to see people in a different environment. And the city does a fantastic breakfast station in front of City Hall. They had mocktails last year that were fabulous. Cannot say enough good things about the bacon station over at the Olympic Museum. And then what's been really gratifying is every year we get a couple new businesses who want to do it. And so we always, like, I know that Underline has done one on the Santa Fe Trail, not that far north, but they've done one like over in Monument Valley Park. And we had a legal business who's on Willamette or Monument or something like that, who was super excited. They reached out about doing a breakfast station and they were concerned about, you know, the right place to put it. And I said, you know, your office is a great place. You know, send it out to your folks. We'll put it on our map. But the more people that we can get excited about doing it and inviting their tribe to participate, right? Like, that's what's really exciting. And then you really start seeing the numbers.
So wherever you live and wherever work might be, you look at the Bike to Work map, and you can figure out, okay, wow, I might actually hit 3 breakfast stations on my way to work. You might be really full by the time you get to the office.
And if there's anybody listening who wants to host one, we can still take them. So on that website, coloradosprings.gov/biketowork, you can actually go in there and about halfway down, 3/4 down, there's a place to sign up to do a breakfast station. Super easy. We just ask you to fill out your location. If you want to share details about if you're throwing a party or live music or what you're serving, that's great. Otherwise, just put your address and your company name in there. You can drop a logo in and you'll get on our map.
And I know we were joking a little bit earlier about spandex, but I think one other thing people should know is, I mean, you can truly jump on a bike for your commute, especially if you're using an e-assist bike. And I mean, you can go in and no matter what you're wearing for the day. I've seen guys on bike rides in suits. Hmm. One of my coworkers used to always kind of look at me in shock when I'd get off the bike, you know, in a pair of platform heels and a dress.
It's also do not recommend.
It depends on the length. I mean, it really makes it pretty easy, especially again, like, I love what e-bikes have done to make cycling more accessible to everyone. So whether you'd normally have, you know, aged out of being able to ride, if you're fighting or recovering from an injury, if you're riding with someone who's at a different skill level than you, if you're trying to commute someplace where you don't have the opportunity to kind of clean up afterwards. I mean, it just, the e-bikes have really equalized cycling and, you know, there's a time and place for them. You know, probably bombing down a single track is not the best place for those. And, you know, it's not actually legal here in most of our single tracks, but I really think that they help, you know, the average Joe or someone, again, who you said maybe hasn't been on a bike forever or doesn't quite know what to do, like dip their toes in. And yeah, it's totally easy to bike in a dress. Okay, maybe not heels. Let's say flats. But.
And just think about the money you save biking. One, you don't need, you know, mental health counseling.
Right.
Because you have this great attitude adjustment on the way into work. And it is good. Even if you're on an e-assist bike, there's still some exercise involved.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned just how you see different things. You experience the city differently when you're on a bicycle. I got a great example of that just a week ago, I wasn't on a bicycle. I was on foot. I was doing the Art on the Street walking tour with Michelle, and we were walking downtown, and I go downtown in a car probably more often than I bike downtown. So walking downtown, I just couldn't believe the things that I saw that we have downtown I didn't even know existed. And that's the kind of thing that happens to you on a bicycle. You see stuff that you just don't notice in a car as it whizzes by.
And you're not paying for parking, right? And there's lots
of
places.
No
absolutely.
Parking.
Absolutely. Yep. And this is the perfect season, right? Because it's pre-rain. It's not super hot between 6 and, let's say, 8. I'll reserve the right to pull that back if we get some sort of epic heat next week. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it is the best way to start the day. We highly recommend you do it after Bike to Work Day, but it's super easy to do it on that one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good habit to pick up.
And then it's really fun to bike home from work. You know, you've had a day, say you get out at 5 o'clock, and it's really easy to ride past one of our, I don't know, 30-ish breweries and decide to stop on the patio, keep an eye on your bike, you know, celebrate sitting out in the sun versus, you know, just bombing home in that car. Can just elongate your happy time by doing a bike home from work day.
And we don't necessarily organize that, but we have a lot of breweries that will reach out to us and say, can we do something on Bike to Work Day? And we're like, absolutely, have at it. So there will be some interesting things around town.
So there'll be some BUI going on.
There should not be some BUI going on. Do not recommend. There's three things. Do not recommend.
One of the things that's the greatest factor as to how people choose their mode to get to work is the time it takes to get from house to work. And there are many ways, depending on the route, that you can ride, especially an electric bike, faster than you can drive, park, and get to your office. And that's changing in a big way. Electric bikes have really changed that time frame. So if you have a big hill, it used to take a long time. That's really not the factor anymore. So sometimes you don't have enough time to drive and you have to take your bike.
We have a gentleman on our Bike to Work Day committee who also works from home, but he's worked at different organizations around town, and he and his wife both have e-bikes. And he says that when they go hiking, they ride their e-bikes to go hiking. He lives up in Briar Gate or further north and will ride to the incline, do the incline, come back down, ride back home.
Well, that beats the heck out of driving into Manitou, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. My gosh, yeah.
And parking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you have to take out a second mortgage to park there anymore. But yeah, he's a huge advocate. He does it with his kids. He does it with his wife. Like, cycling is their regular transportation and their preferred mode of transportation.
We rode down this weekend. So this past weekend was the No Kings protest on Saturday, Pride Fest on Saturday, Pride Fest on Sunday. And there's a little bit of construction going on Tejon where, you know, that street is closed off. Plus, of course, because of the parade route and everything, there was a lot more right around the parking garage that I'd normally park in for $1 an hour, or it was free on Sunday. But still, it was like, I'm going to ride a bike down instead because I can, you know, easily get around construction. I can find any of the public bike racks or pike ride bike racks and lock right up to there. And then it was so easy to get in and out. It just made a ton of difference in a really busy, thriving weekend to be able to get where I wanted in, like you said, less amount of time than it would have taken me to drive, park, get out, negotiate stuff. And it was so awesome.
Now, Carrie and Carol, I assume you're going to have some film and photo crews out there capturing the bike lanes being heavily used.
Yeah.
Yes, we always do.
And then pretend like it looks like that year round whenever you get some cranky motorist who says, why another bike lane? Nobody uses those.
Yeah. We actually have a bike counter on North Cascade, so not too far from here. And so it'll be interesting to compare a regular Wednesday to the Bike to Work Day and see how much usage we get.
Oh, great. I hope you will share those stats with us.
Absolutely. Yes. But we also, to your point, we'll have some photographers out there, and we do have some drone footage from another year. So,
oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's a pretty good chance, if you're not shy, there's a good chance you're going to run into a TV news crew or get your picture taken or
absolutely
bump into other cool people, maybe meet a future husband or wife or
or a past one, if that's how you roll.
And are you guys encouraging folks to take pictures at the stations and post? Are there hashtags or places to tag yourself if you're out and about celebrating Bike to Work Day this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is a hashtag, and it's,
I believe it's COS Bike to Work.
Yeah. Is it?
Or Bike to Work COS.
Yeah.
Don't We should know.
And
the
25 too. I think we put the year on it this year. Yeah.
Sometimes you're just too close to it.
Yes. You know what? This week and a half away, we are way too close.
Yeah.
You know, we're recording on the 16th. I'm going to get this published within 2 days. And you're saying your company could still become a champion. It's not too late.
Absolutely. We still have plenty of posters in English and Spanish. Mm-hmm. We'll get those delivered out to folks for them to hang, and they can still become a breakfast station. Tomorrow's actually pickup day for signage for breakfast stations, but we will get signage to people who sign up after the date. We'll make that happen.
Uh-huh. The beauty of signing up earlier is that people who like to plan their routes way in advance will see yours. But absolutely, all those people that are closer to the time planning will get to see your stuff too.
So there's a good reason. I was thinking about procrastinating and looking at that map the morning of or the night before.
So yeah, that'll pay off. Good. Yeah, it will.
It'll pay off because there might be some new
there might be some new ones.
There.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Carrie, you don't have a very long to ride to work. Are you going to do some extra riding on Bike to Work Day just to experience it?
So I believe we have a recording that morning, so I will probably get up and find a station or two to ride to on the way to the studio here. And then we'll have a recording that morning, so I should be all full of maybe bacon and coffee and ready to go that day. But I do love this time of the year with the sun getting up early. You can get up and get a nice hour ride in before work if you want. Keep riding towards the office. I know I keep bringing it up, but there is a Pike Ride station basically at the end of my driveway, and there is a Pike Ride station at the door to my office.
Oh, you're living right.
So even though I've got 6 bikes in the garage, it just makes so much sense for me to jump on one of those. You know, I don't worry about my bike potentially getting stolen or where I'm going to park it or anything like that. So I'm a big fan of Pike Ride for those reasons. I'm basically door-to-door service.
Very cool.
Well, and Pike Ride's great as well with, as you know, some of the discount programs for folks that are underemployed, lower income, and things like that. It's a huge resource for people to be able to get from here to there, to be able to stay employed. And I know that's been a big focus as well of Pike Ride in the city, is to try and develop out that equity so that there is access to lots of forms of transportation.
Yeah, there was about a year old or a little bit longer leasing program that even expanded that more. So it was a Pike Ride branded bike that you actually got to keep at your house. So
you could
decide to do a 1 month lease or, you know, 2 month, 3 month, 12 month lease. And so instead of, you know, parking it and then someone else being able to take it, you got to take it home at night, potentially have an extra battery. You could charge it. You could ride in and out of any of the service areas. So there are some studies where they had someone who I think was riding to the Amazon facility out by the airport.
Oh, wow.
And you know, able to get to work every single day because of this leasing program, and was something very inexpensive, like $25 or $30 a month to lease your own e-bike. And then some of those actually turned into people, you know, falling in love with it, turning it back in and being able to buy an e-bike, especially with some of the really great rebates the state had on purchasing e-bikes. So really helping turn people that either maybe were using a bus, maybe we're having to use ride services, maybe having to find someone to give them a ride, into a cyclist as a commuter, and then turning them from a Pike Ride user into actually having their own bike. So those kind of sometimes being forced to try something that way really helps you form a great habit, both for your health, the environment, and like you said, just really making sure that you've got the freedom to come and go, whether that's work, play, doctor's appointments, et cetera.
I think the Pike Ride program also includes saddlebags or panniers so that people could really commute effectively with it.
Right. Yeah. You can bring your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to swing a purse across one way. But if you've got all that, it makes it easier.
Absolutely.
Before we were recording, I was explaining how delighted Al and I were that we have added Carrie Simonson to the crew here. And now you can see why.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's delivering all the golden moments and great information. Thank you for that, Carrie.
She knows everything.
She does. And I want to mention, Al probably sounds a little bit funny because he's coming to us long distance. He's in New York today.
New York City, the Bronx, baby. But I do have a note. There are at least 5 trails that head to UCCS. And you can get there on a road bike. You can get there on a mountain bike. You can get there through an open space. It's amazing how many ways you can safely get to UCCS. And then you don't have to worry about parking your car. And you can ride up almost to your building in most cases, if not into the building. I don't think they let you ride in, but some of the buildings might be able to.
Well, that's good you mentioned that, because that sort of seems like an unattainable place to ride a bike. It just sort of seems like it's high on the hill and just the traffic. So getting on the trail is great.
Well, that's the thing about the e-bike. That hill is no longer an obstacle. And you can miss the traffic lights. It's amazing how easy it is to get to UCCS.
And they're a great partner of ours. They're doing a breakfast station. And I can't remember last year, it was at the Eaton Center. Is it at University Village or is it actually on campus this year?
I don't know, because we asked them to make it somewhere really central where we thought they'd get a lot of traffic, because they're doing a tune-up station.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
So if you're out and you have bike issues or just want to do something to make it more effective, the tune-up station, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, they've been a good partner for a long time. So they have, at different times, they've shifted to be at U Village just because of the accessibility of the trails on the backside. But last year, I think it was at the end center. And so I think they've gone back and forth with that. That's why coloradosprings.gov/bike-to-work is where you find out where they are.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone offering bike bling this year? Like when you were a kid, did you ever put the playing card? I can't remember how we attached
right?
it, but then
on the spokes,
right? How did we attach it? Was it with a clothespin?
Clothespin.
It was with clothespins, yes.
Well, our breakfast station folks will be getting aprons for their breakfast station.
Oh,
they're
cool.
Super cute.
Yeah,
yeah.
So fun.
It's funny, I was chatting with somebody who used to be in the transportation department, and he was just in love with the ball caps. He's like, we're going to do a different color every year and put the year on it, make it commemorative. And we decided to mix it up a bit and go with aprons instead because we thought that was fun. But yes, breakfast stations get swag.
Do they say bacon to work day?
They should. They should.
So you mentioned clinics. Are there any more clinics that you know about that people listening could maybe still tap into?
They're just about done. A lot of what we were trying to do is really pull it forward so that there was enough time for somebody to purchase a bike, get their bike ready, get their body ready, get their nutrition in hand. So the bulk of our clinics were between about May 3rd and the end of May. But if somebody wants to sign up, there's a week. They could do something. One of the biggest challenges with the bike clinics is we promote it on the city site, but the partners that we work with, ideally they have their own constituencies that they're bringing people out. And so sometimes that can be kind of a chicken and egg thing.
Well, and I've seen a lot of promotions across kind of the bike world and the beer world recently. I think Fossil Brewing Company is doing, I don't know if it's weekly or monthly, but I think a clinic really targeted at women and maybe women who are new to riding or getting back into riding. So check their Facebook page. Always seems like Molly at SRAM is doing something to help promote more people getting out to ride. I mean, we've got Bike Colorado Springs and there's Bicycle Colorado. So if you haven't been able to get involved yet with Bike to Work Day or you happen to miss it, but you really want to get more involved in the bike world, there's lots of resources to kind of point you in the right direction. And Cerberus Brewing has partnered up with the Buffalo Lodge to do Thursday rides. Plus, I think they're doing Sunday rides. And again, somehow, well, when I first started riding again, the boyfriend at the time taught me it was not a bike ride until you had a beer at the end. And I mean, I have pretty much learned that. And it's really cool how many of our local breweries are big bike supporters, too. So check out their Facebook pages and Instagram pages, because they all seem to be doing something with bikes, too.
Buffalo Lodge had done a couple of training rides for us. So they have their regular Saturday morning ride, which is, again, kind of people that ride regularly. Uh-huh. But they had a couple where they did some training rides for people that weren't ready to ride from Buffalo Lodge, say, to the zoo or something like that, that's a little more aggressive. And I think those have been pretty well received. It's been really cool, the people that understand how important this is, not because Carrie and I say it's important, but because just getting more people into cycling is important. And so it's been really interesting to watch some of the companies come together with their own take on what a bike clinic might look like.
And if you ride your bike on Bike to Work Day, the 25th of June, there is also a Wednesday night cruiser ride that leaves from Lincoln Center.
Okay.
And it meets at 5:50 and rolls at 6. It's usually about 9 miles altogether. It's a no-drop, leisurely ride that is extremely social and definitely not about spandex.
And do you end up back at Lincoln Center afterwards?
Yes, you do.
For a beer at Goat Patch.
right? It is a ride.
I'm pretty sure Carrie Simison can rattle off the name of every local craft brewery in town.
Who also has bike rides.
So, Carrie Childress, since we have you here, let me ask you a non-Bike to Work Day question. What can we do to help you do your job to make the Springs and the Pikes Peak region even more bicycle friendly?
Great question. Well, I'm always willing to take input on areas where there are safety concerns or needs for connectivity. So we're really trying to make sure that everybody can get from their house over to the trails. So certainly if you have some input, I can't be everywhere. I'm trying to ride every mile of trail in the city. That's been my undertaking since I got this job, but certainly any kind of input is great. Just sharing your support. We have a bunch of projects in queue and we're just trying to wait to get the go ahead.
So Carrie, the work you do isn't limited to bicycles, right? It's micromobility, it's pedestrian access and everything. So scooters, ways to get from someplace there's a sidewalk to someplace there isn't a sidewalk and everything. So if people have interactions or suggestions about scooters and walkability and everything too, that all falls under you.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can reach out to me directly or they can submit a GoCOS. And that will come to my desk too.
I love that app. If you don't have the GoCOS app, it's super easy to download. And it's not only for things like we're talking about today, you know, bike accessibility, walkability, scooters in the middle of a sidewalk, something. It is for reporting potholes. It's for almost anything the city can do for you, you know, versus having to find an email, navigating a website, which, you know, people don't have necessarily the patience for, or calling in and trying to get to the right person. It's got topics listed, you punch what you want, send a note, and it gets directed to the right person at the city. It's really a brilliant app. So whoever came up with that, kudos to them.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. You could take a picture through it and it remembers who you are. Yeah,
and it updates you. It updates you on the status. So if you report a pothole, it'll tell you when someone's read it, when someone's been out there to look at it, when it's been addressed, if a tree's down in the middle of the street, any of that kind of stuff. And it's nice. You get feedback.
Absolutely.
And progress.
Yeah. And so we get a lot of our safety concerns that way, whether it's speeding and traffic calming or, you know, micro mobility. We get a lot through there. It's great. Yeah.
Are we ready for the last question, do you think?
I think so. So let's start with Carol.
Okay.
Since this is Loving the Springs, the podcast, what is it that you love about the Springs?
So I have loved this going back to junior high and high school when I lived on the east side of town. I love that we have mountain parks in the middle of town. I love that. I grew up in the Village 7 area, and there's all kinds of cool trails in Village 7 and, and hoodoos and rocks, which you wouldn't think they're there. I went camping, probably not legally, in Palmer Park when I was 14. We took a little red wagon, can of ravioli, and my dog. It was one of those deals where she said her parents said it was okay, and I said my parents were okay. But yeah, middle of town mountain parks, that is it for me.
That is great.
That's a new answer. We haven't gotten that answer before.
No, it's a good one, especially the ravioli.
Right? Nobody else camped in Palmer Park.
And Carrie, how about you? Same question.
I love the variability of outdoor activities. So one of my kids is an avid rock climber, and so he has a ton of opportunities around here. I personally prefer to mountain bike or hike, and my husband also. So I just feel like all of us can find something to do here in the same area. It's lovely.
The beauty of this question is everybody has a positive answer to it. It's great. Thank you.
Do we have time for just a couple of quick reports on things going on, things that have happened or are about to happen? Do you mind if we take 5 minutes? Okay. Carrie Simonson, Pride?
Yes, I was down both days for Pride, actually. Saturday was also the No Kings protest. And so I think a lot of crossover between the protesters and the folks that were attending Pride. But can you say unexpected amount of positivity? Like, you never know when you're at a protest what's going to happen. And, you know, whether you like it or not, Pride is still a little bit controversial as well. But everyone that I ran into downtown this weekend between the protest and Pride were friendly and engaging. And there were pedestrians that were stopping to let traffic turn on to Nevada. Traffic was not trying to run down anyone. I know that we had a police presence somewhere, but they stayed kind of off to the edges, just watching for things. I only saw one person flip anyone off during the whole thing. It was one of the most uplifting and pleasant and cheerful weekends downtown that I have seen in I can't even tell you how long. And Pride Fest was just packed with people. There was a woman out there, and I think it was a whole booth, giving out mom and dad hugs, had t-shirts on that said free mom hugs. The entertainment stage was amazing. We got to see the Britney Spears impersonator that was on RuPaul's Drag Race, was one of the main entertainers that day. The folks in the Beer Garden and Absolute Garden were just having a great time. People were out with their dogs. It was awesome. And we at Downtown will actually be able to have numbers within a couple days. We have a piece of software that anonymously tracks cell phone data. So we can't say that your cell phone, Dave, was down here, but we can track the number of cell phones, and we can do a geographic area, and we can do a time frame. So I don't know that we'll be able to split out the protest and Pride because they were so close together, but we will be able to tell you just Saturday between 10 a.m. when Pride Fest opened and 9 p.m. when Pride Fest closed, and then Sunday, same thing during the parade in whichever specific part of downtown, like how many visitors there were to downtown. And we can also tell you if they live downtown or if they're visitors from outside of downtown, because you can track the cell phone that lives there overnight versus the one that comes in and out of downtown. But we are expecting to see huge numbers. Pride Fest, they were estimating 40,000 visitors over the weekend, and what early numbers we heard on the No Kings protest was between 9 and 12,000 people. And it was at least a mile long. It went from City Hall to Uinta, both sides of the street, the median in between it, cars that were circling if they didn't want to get out or couldn't get out and be on the sides, you know, signs in the windows, honking, waving. So lots and lots of traffic downtown. And again, overall positive reports from everyone I've heard that it was a peaceful, productive and hopeful protest and festival weekend.
Great to hear.
That is.
I want to give a quick Art on the Streets report because they launched Art on the Streets. What was the date? The 7th?
June.
Friday is the 6th.
Okay. They launched on the 6th and the 7th, sort of. And so I went on the 7th to the walking tour that Michelle led, and that was a blast. And Doom Scroll, I guess, apparently won the
$10,000 first place jurors prize.
And we got a pretty good description of that on the previous episode of Loving the Spring. So if you want to hear Michelle Winchell, who is the guru in charge of that, talk about that, you can find that episode. But I was really anxious to see what that looked like, and that was pretty cool. A lot of fun.
Yep. And it was wild because it was a stormy day. And I think it was right up until 5 o'clock when Art on the Street scavenger hunt actually launched that we weren't sure we were going to be able to do it that night. But guess what? The skies parted, the sun came back out, and we got to hold Art on the Street's 27th annual scavenger hunt that night with 12 new sculptures and murals. So great way to get out and experience public art in downtown.
Great stuff. That's going to be around for a year, but take advantage of the good weather to check it out.
You can do it on a bike.
Mm-hmm. Best way to do it. Coming right up is Juneteenth, Southern Colorado Juneteenth Festival. It's not going to be downtown this year.
No, it has been downtown for the last several years, I believe, in America the Beautiful Park. And this year it's moving out to the Citadel Mall. So Juneteenth is actually this Thursday, June 19th, and then the festival is at the Citadel Mall Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 20 through 22. I know that I don't know if they were looking for more space or they were a little bit worried about, you know, necessarily being outside the whole time, but it should be a great location for them. And, you know, I love it when we can move things around the city because you get a different population coming out when it's closer to home, get a different population come out when it's inside to outside. And so I think it'll be a great move for the organizers to see how Citadel Mall does for the event.
Anything else?
I missed the Pride Parade and the Pride Ride because of my reunion. But I do want to shout out June 29th, which is a Sunday, is the Denver Pride Parade. I love Colorado Springs Pride Parade, but if you want to see what a big city's Pride Parade is like, Denver really has an awesome event, and I will be riding in the Denver Pride Parade. So if you want to see me not in spandex, come to the Denver Pride Parade.
And ride Mustang to get up there.
Right, right.
So I really want to thank you, Carol Campbell and Carrie Childress, for coming in today. ColoradoSprings.gov/biketowork.
Yep.
Yes.
That's the place to go?
Yes.
Find the map and find the locations that you want to hit breakfast, right?
Give us a follow on Facebook. Give us a follow on Instagram. Give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. Recommend Loving the Springs. You know what? If there's something you want to hear us talk about, someone you want to hear us interview, you want to come on, connect with us on one of the social media platforms. We'd love to talk to you because you know what? Loving the Springs is where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest, and you all are part of it.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.